All participants, please stand by. The conference is ready to begin. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta, General Counsel, Corporate Secretary. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first quarter 2009 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Thursday, May 14th, 2009. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or review any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I would like to introduce to you our Chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Thanks, Michael. In accordance with our past conventions for these calls, I will make some opening remarks and give a commentary on the Q1 2009 financial results and production results. I'll ask Klaus Zeitler, our President, to give an overview of the operating side, and then we'll open the call to questions. Q1 2009 was very much a period for Amerigo whereby management focused on stabilizing both the financial and the operating base of the company following the turmoil in the credit markets and the commodity markets in Q4 2008. We had two key priorities: to stabilize the financial situation and apply our management efforts to reducing costs consistent with a lower copper and moly price. On the financial front, priority was given to dealing with some $14 or $15 million of negative pricing adjustments for copper and moly, which had a profound effect on our working capital position at a time when we were completing a very large investment in our power generation project of some $21 million. The investment in this power plant was critical to give us independence from the Chilean national power grid, which was going through its own crisis since late 2007. The board made this decision in early 2008 to proceed with this investment in our power generation facility to effectively cap our exposure to high electricity prices and to give us the capacity to continue to operate should brownouts occur in the national grid. At the time, of course, late 2007 and early 2008, the information that we're basing these decisions on were very much about the fact that there was a real possibility that the electricity supply could be threatened. At the time, of course, in Q1 2008, our energy price averaged $0.33 a kilowatt hour. To put that in context, when Amerigo first started business in 2003 with MVC, our power cost was of the order of $0.035-$0.04 a kilowatt hour. We're dealing with a 10 times multiple at that time increase in our power costs. On the operating front, as I said, we were working hard to reduce costs, at least the costs that we're in control of, to deal with a much lower revenue base. By far and away, our largest cost due to the nature of our operations being essentially a reprocessor of tailings. We don't have trucks and mining equipment running around an open pit or underground. We are essentially an industrial operator, and therefore power is critical, and the power, cost of power is critical to our cost management side. Unfortunately, we're not, we have not been in control of that, and even with the benefit of our power plant, we still aren't in full control because we are subject to fluctuations in the oil price, and in turn the heavy oil price specifically. Nevertheless, during the quarter, we managed to succeed in restructuring the repayment of the negative copper and moly pricing adjustments that occurred in Q4 2008. The copper negative price adjustments we have extended over a longer term period through to 2011, and that has given us substantial breathing space in terms of working capital. Similarly, on our moly pricing adjustments, we are applying our production on a month-by-month basis to the reduction of that that adjustment also. We've also secured additional bank financing and negotiated payment deferrals with our key partners and suppliers, including El Teniente. Equally importantly, we completed a $10.5 million Canadian dollar financing, which supplemented our working capital requirements. That was necessary because, as is often the case, but even more more accentuated in this cycle, where we've had an unprecedented rapid fall in commodity prices, there is a lag between that and the reduction of costs typically associated with the production of commodities, copper in particular in our case. The lag that occurs when costs come down slower than revenue, and that also generated and added to our working capital challenges. Our financial results, our operating loss was $2.6 million and our net loss was $4.8 million, substantially down on comparative figures for Q1 2008. Not surprisingly, in Q1 2009, our revenue was down by a massive 64% against similar sort of production levels, so that's almost purely a pricing change. And our cost of sales fell by 42%, largely a reduction in power costs, but nevertheless, a massive reduction, but still not sufficient to meet the 64% fall in prices. Cash flow used in our activities was approximately $8.6 million during the quarter, reflecting the increase in accounts receivable related to pricing adjustments in the quarter. Our production in the quarter was 7.12 million pounds and 97,000 pounds of moly, compared to 7.8 million pounds of copper in Q1 2008 and 148,000 pounds of moly in Q1 2008. A couple of things operating there. As we said in our production release earlier in the month, we made a decision to suspend extraction of the old tailings so that we could redesign the extraction pit and redesign and reposition our extraction equipment such that we could take advantage of a higher production schedule starting in Q2 2009, which would boost our copper production, but also particularly our moly production. Moly production for the quarter was down, and Klaus will talk to this a little more, primarily because moly grades in our fresh tailing feed was significantly lower, but also, as I said, with the suspension of the old tailings operation during the quarter, that's our source of higher moly grade material. So the combination of the two things resulted in a particularly lower month of a quarter of production for moly, but management was did a great job in maintaining largely the copper production in the quarter compared to the corresponding quarter in 2008. On costs, our costs were a little lower, $1.94 per pound compared to $2.51 in 2008 corresponding period. The principal reason for that was the lower power costs. Power costs for the quarter were just under 15 cents a kilowatt hour compared to 33 cents a kilowatt hour in 2008 Q1. We are experiencing a trend to lower power costs. In fact, the power costs are at this point in time, and I should hasten to add that this is open to change, but they're approximately 10 cents a kilowatt hour as we speak, which means that we're not running on generators because at current oil prices, it's not economic to do so. But nevertheless, the 10 cents a kilowatt hour represents a significant reduction from the 15 cents a kilowatt hour in the Q1 2009 quarter. The 15 cents also reflects the summer months in Chile, where traditionally power costs are higher and power consumption throughout the country is higher, and that corresponds to a higher price. Our cash balance at the end of the quarter was around $3.5 million. Subsequent to March 31 quarter end, one of our Chilean banks agreed to roll over our banking facility, as has been the convention for the last 6 months or so, and we are also in discussions with a view at that point in time to roll it out to a longer term. In that context, it should be noted that we are expecting tax refunds from the Chilean Internal Revenue Service of approximately $7 million during the year, of which approximately $3.5 million are expected late Q2 2009. That $7 million, of course, represents quite a substantial percentage of our bank debt, and we look forward to receiving those amounts. CapEx during the quarter was just under $3 million, most of which was incurred in completing the self-generation project. We've also added recently to that budget by investing in some synchronization equipment. That synchronization equipment allows us to flick in and out in relatively short time, in and out of grid power, and that's critical. That's a critical additional investment to allow us greater flexibility to go in and out of that grid versus self-generation on a short-term basis. Without that, as we originally planned, we would simply run for some time on either grid or for some time on self-generating equipment. This gives us greater equipment and will give us that flexibility is a big advantage to our cost management going forward. Klaus, do you want to add some comments about the operations in addition to my comments?
Well, I guess you covered it all. I mean, the first quarter was one of the worst. First quarter 2009 was one of the worst production quarters which we had in the history of the company. And I'm very glad that we are behind that, and I'm looking forward to significantly better quarters to come this year, and this will already start with Q2, which will be production-wise significantly higher than Q1. That, of course, will then also have an effect on the cost, because a lot of the costs are fixed costs, and these fixed costs based on low production, which we had in Q1, of course, has an effect that our unit costs are not down to where they should be under normal operating conditions. Now the improvement in production will come from two sources. The first source, of course, as Stephen said, we had to reposition our mining equipment of the old tailings. This is all completed, and we are now ramping up the higher grade portions from the old tailings, which gives us much better production than we had from these tailings last year. That does not mean, and I want to emphasize that does not mean that we are at this point high grading. What we are doing right now is just going into the normal grade areas of the old tailings. While before, last year, we were basically mining subgrade material, which, however, was profitable at the high copper prices then. So now we are getting into the old tailings in a way where we operate on normal grades, and these normal grades will, of course, also give us better recoveries, and that will also improve production. The second source of better production is coming from the fresh tailings. The quality and quantity of the fresh tailings which we received from El Teniente in the first quarter were absolutely terrible. The quality was about 15 to 20% below the normal quality which we receive, and the quantity of material was also about 10 to 15% below the normal amount of tailings which we receive from El Teniente. So I hope that is behind us. We know that El Teniente did have some mining problems which led to the reduced tailings flow, and it seems that this is behind them, because right as we speak the tailings flow is at record levels. So looking forward, I see much better production at much better costs, and we hope that this will continue for the rest of the year, and will thus also contribute, in addition to what Stephen was saying, to recovering our health, our financial health. Molybdenum production has also, as Stephen said, been very low, and it seems that this will continue to be on the low side, and this is something which one can see in many other operations too. We know that the production in El Teniente also is lower than normal, and we also see that in other copper operations which have molybdenum as a byproduct, that obviously all of them have have been going into higher grade molybdenum areas in the past 2 or 3 years, and these areas are now mined out, and so now we are in areas of lower molybdenum production, not only with us, but also with other companies. That in turn, in my view, will bode well for the recovery of the molybdenum price in the future. Of course, nobody knows when that future comes, but there are indications lately that even molybdenum will recover again from these terrible prices as we have them right now, which are in the high $7 and the low $8 range. So that's about all I have to add, Stephen.
Thanks, Al. I guess the other comment I would make before we open up to questions is, and it's important to keep listeners to remind listeners of this, is that is that the copper price is a little low, a little below $2 at LME this morning, but it's been around the $2 mark for some time now. But that rise in price really only occurred at the end of the March quarter, and is not really reflecting itself in anyone's balance sheets and P&Ls in the copper business at the moment, including ours. We hope it continues. We see a number of reasons why it will continue, notwithstanding the fact that there are a number of analysts out there predicting a precipitous fall again. We're not in that camp, but we don't have a crystal ball either. But there, in terms of the hard numbers and the pricing that we've been seeing in the markets in the last month to 6 weeks, obviously is not reflected in March 31 quarter, but will be in the June 30 quarter. On that note, happy to open the call to questions. Thanks, operator.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound key. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Stephen Ottridge in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. Just on the, you talk about the quality of the tailings from El Teniente not being very good in Q1. Is it possible that El Teniente is extracting more from the ore before the tailings come down to you?
No.
Okay.
Because as I said, you know, this has been going on, over many years, that you have periods where the quality of the tailings is worse, and then it gets better again. And as I said, this has improved significantly in the last 2 months. So obviously they are in a different area of the mine. And the tailings have a different quality. You have to remember that the El Teniente mine is a huge underground mine, and they have many different areas where they can mine the ore, and therefore it's quite natural that the quality of the ore changes over time.
Stephen, the Q1, the first quarter of every year, for as Klaus indicated, for several years, 10, 20 years, has always been a poor quality month for production of tailings in particular. We don't fully understand why. There is a seasonal factor to it. It's a short quarter in terms of production days. There's Christmas mixed up in there as well. It's the summertime when everyone is on holidays in Chile. There's runoff from the snowmelt, which affects, but we don't fully understand it, but it is a phenomena that has existed for some time. To your comment also, as Klaus said, the Teniente mine is a huge mine, but it is getting deeper as a general comment now, and there are still upper levels that they still mine from time to time, but the mine as a general comment is getting deeper, and with depth comes harder ore, and that's a fact, and with harder ore comes the potential for lower recovery by Teniente because of the additional grinding that's necessary. And from a 10 to 20 year horizon perspective, the trend is actually the other way than you would expect, unless they substantially increase grinding recovery equipment, and that doesn't make economic sense either because they're better off to increase throughput than to do that.
Okay, but I guess with the tailings being, they're into harder ore, that means the tailings you're getting are going to be harder, so it's going to affect your milling as well.
Yes, but we grind the material anyway. It just means we get more recovery from the material we grind.
Okay. And the other thing is you said that they're now operating at full belt, so you're getting a lot of tailings coming down, so that means presumably you're going to be extracting less tailings from the old tailings.
No.
That has nothing to do with it. These are completely separate streams.
But your equipment obviously has limited to capacity to.
No, our equipment can cover all of it, our equipment, the investment which we have done in the last 3 years is such that we can receive the full amount of fresh tailings at maximum flow, plus the full amount which we can contractually extract from the old tailings.
Okay.
Without any problems.
Without any problem. And just one other question, and is just on the power. Have you used your new power equipment for any extended periods of time?
Not extended periods of time, only short periods of time.
Okay, and you've got oil on site if you need to fire it up.
Right.
Yeah, so for a period of time. Okay, I'll let somebody else ask a question. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kuda.
Thanks, operator. Thanks, Steve, for your only question. We're hoping for more. We're fully prepared for more. I guess we've done a reasonable job in our revised and revamped quarterly reporting format that many of the questions have already been answered. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. We appreciate all those shareholders on the call. We appreciate your support. We look forward to reporting on further progress in Q2 2009 in August. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference is now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.